Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Hey, it's good to see you guys. It's so good to be back. I was out of town last weekend doing something I love doing, hanging out with my friends and golfing in Florida. Anybody from Florida in here? It was 84 degrees. It was so hot. This winter skin loved the warmth, but I had to protect myself. I didn't want to get fried, but I had a great time down there and just some planning meetings and just working on some projects. And of course, we threw in a few rounds of golf to have some fun. But I heard Candace kicked off the Spirit Series last week. And like I said at the beginning, I think Reva and I are just going to be gone just a little bit more and just hand it over. So I'm partially joking. Well, we've been getting, we got a text this morning from Shayna. We had 32 of our youth went down to the Young Saints Conference in Atlanta. And I just want to shout out you guys. There was a few Sundays ago, we said, hey, we're raising money because we want to send kids. And I believe it's $200 per kid to go, cost the hotel and whatnot. And over $3,500 came in on a Sunday. You guys gave over $3,500 to help our youth group go. So give yourself a hand for that. And we got a text this morning that the kids are absolutely just messed up by Jesus. And that's a good thing. Messed up in all the right ways. And they've been deeply, deeply impacted by what took place the last 24, 36 hours. And they're heading home today from Atlanta. And I'm sure next week will be, well, a lot of you will hear about it because they are your kids or you're connected to family that their kids went. And perhaps next week, if we have time and just have some of them that would like to share, maybe we could share next week with you. But big, big celebratory weekend for us. And for those of you that sowed into it financially, I'm telling you what, that's some of the best soil to sow into our young people. And a wonderful, wonderful week. Well, I'm ready to jump into week two of the Spirit. Is anybody ready for today? Good. We're going to dive right in, but let me just set a few things in place. If you were not here last week, we have just launched, starting last week, about a five-week series on the Spirit, and we're just laying a foundation. We're going to be talking about it from different angles, and just to be very clear, 5 weeks is nowhere near sufficient to talk about the multidimensional nature of the Holy Spirit, but we want to dedicate at minimum 5 weeks. And we actually did a series in 2023 in June and July. So if you actually want to go listen to some another series that we did that's a little bit different focus than this one, but we did cover some other ground. It's in, if you go into Studio Greenville's podcast, June and July of 2023. You can go back. I believe there's 4 or 5 weeks that we did a series on, laid some really big foundational stuff. And this series, we're just kind of continuing that theme. And I just want to encourage you today, if you feel stirred, then respond to that stirring. Respond to that stirring, whatever that may be. It could be right in your seat. You can find a space in the room. You can come lay in the front, or you just stay right where you're at. But I want to just want you to prepare yourself for what God is doing and what he wants to do in your life. I had a unique experience this last week. Because of my age, I am having to go back in for eye exam to check out these beautiful eyeballs that I have and to see how well they see and what they're not seeing. And so I went in this week for my, not annual, it's been 4 or 5 years, so it had been a minute, and I noticed things aren't as clear as they used to be. And so I went in, I wear contacts and prescriptions now. So I went in and they say, hey, in order for us to get a really accurate reading of your eyes, we need to dilate them with some drops. And I'm like, okay. And she made it sound optional. And I said, do I have to do it? She said, no, you don't have to, but it helped us to get the most accurate reading. I'm like, well, okay, then do it. She said, okay, so what we're gonna, but she didn't tell me what was gonna happen. So she said, first, I'm going to put a couple drops in to numb your eye, and then I'm going to put the drops in to dilate your eye, to make your eyes fully dilated for 3 hours. And I'm thinking, no big deal. And I said, I don't have any sunglasses on me. She said, don't worry. We got these little roll-out sunglasses you pop on your head. And if you saw my Instagram, it's very Cybertruck looking. It's pretty cool. I think I'm going to keep them and just wear them. It's a new thing. They're really cheap. And so she put the drops in, and then she numbed my eyeball, and then puts in the drop to dilate. Man, everything got really bright. And I'm in a dark office. I'm like, wow, there's a lot more light coming in. And then she takes this thing and starts touching my eyeball. Now, of course, my eye is shutting, and she's all, leave your eyelids open. Like, I'm trying, but you're just jabbing my eye. I was not okay with that. But after I left, I get in the car. I cannot see. It is so bright outside. There's so much light coming. I look in the mirror, and there's no color in my eye. It's a black eyeball. I am full aperture, is wide open, and there's so much light. I'm squinting all the way home with these cheap rolled out sunglasses. I'm like blocking my eyes. I'm getting home, and I had this thought. I hope that your eyes are open today. I hope that you experience your aperture going wide open today. We're going to talk about the Spirit today. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about the whole conversation of my heart and my prayer and my desire is that however tight your aperture is, I pray that today your eyes are open. You can begin to see, and not just see, but begin to experience what God has in mind for you when it comes to the Spirit. Today's title is Spirit, Who, the Why, and the How. I put things on slide today because we're going to cover a bit of ground, and this is to help you digest and to read as well as take pictures. I know many of you take pictures of slides. I highly recommend it because we're not going to be able to dive into every portion of Scripture, but I wanted to give lots of references today so you can have a little bit of an understanding of some of the points we're going to make today and the biblical foundation of it and some of the theological aspects of it. Today is not just about learning. It's actually about receiving. And I want to cover three questions today. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why the Holy Spirit? And how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me say that again. I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, why the Holy Spirit, and how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's start off with the first slide. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is fully God, co-equal, and co-eternal with the Father and the Son. In Acts 3:4, there's this pretty intense moment where Ananias lies about something that he said he did, but he did not do. And Peter confronts him and says this to him, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God." The reason why I want to emphasize this, the Holy Spirit is not just some wind, pneuma, some force. It's actually a person. And the Holy Spirit is God. And if you are intrigued by the idea of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, traditionally, theologically, we call that the Trinity or a triune God. And today, we're not going to dive into the depths of that. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:7, it said, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So what I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is God, not just a force. The Holy Spirit is God. Next slide. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as having a mind, a will, and emotions, proving that he is a person and not just an impersonal force. He teaches and reminded us, there's a couple passages in John 14:26. It says that, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." And then another moment in Act 8, the Holy Spirit is talking to one of Jesus' followers, his name is Philip, and the Holy Spirit says, "Go over to that chariot and talk to that man." So the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit is a person that is in relationship with you and is speaking to you. And in one of the most intense verses in Ephesians 4, verse 30, where it says the Holy Spirit can be grieved. It said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve the wind. You can't grieve a force, but you can grieve a person. You can grieve God. And I want to understand the Holy Spirit is God and the Holy Spirit is a person. Next slide. the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. This is important to understand because when you read your scriptures, most of our translations in the Old Testament does not use the phrase Holy Spirit. It uses the phrase Spirit of God. This is not some different spirit from what we read about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God in Scripture is the same Spirit. They just made reference differently in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. So I want to be clear. Some of us have thought, well, maybe that was just a minor league version of the Holy Spirit or a different version of the Spirit. No, it's the same Spirit. But here's where the difference is from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals for a specific task. You can read different stories of Samson, David, and the prophets where there's an experience where the Holy Spirit comes on them. One of my favorites is Gideon. The way the original language is structured, that the Holy Spirit put on Gideon like a glove. Incredible. It's like almost like the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to put on the costume of Gideon today to defeat the enemy. And so what we have to understand, in the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon someone to complete a task. This all changes the moment Jesus died and raised from the dead, and the New Testament began, the New Covenant began. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit permanently indwelled in all believers. There isn't a frequent visit. There isn't a partial sometime when you're performing well. It's a permanent indwelling of the Spirit. And you can find the reference for that in Acts chapter 2. And like I said, for time's sake, I could read you about 30 scriptures, but I wanted to at least have the slides for you to go study it on your own. So in summary, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God, is the divine person who helps, guides, convicts, empowers, and transforms believers to live in obedience to God. He is essential both to salvation and daily Christian living. What I want you to understand here is that you cannot follow God without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to follow God without the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's talk about why the Holy Spirit. Next slide. There's a couple distinct reasons, and there you could probably find more in Scripture, but for today, I just wanted to pick these specific four. The first one is empowerment for God's mission. You find in Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. So the filling of the Spirit gives you boldness and strength to live out your faith and to share the good news of Jesus effectively. And we'll talk more about the power dynamic of the Holy Spirit. The second one is the transformation of you. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle, is the one that actually lives within you and transforms you from the inside out. Religion tries to transform you from the outside in. The Holy Spirit transforms you from the inside out. So all the things that God is leading you into to be men and women of the Word, men and women of character, men and women that are full of integrity, the Holy Spirit is the one that moves you in that direction. You can't do that. It is the Holy Spirit leading you. So understand the Holy Spirit indwelling in you is to transform you from the inside out. So if you've been living a life of just following rules without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're simply just living a religious lifestyle. Today, I want you to flip that and recognize the Holy Spirit is a person in relationship with me that is permanently indwelling within me to enable me to be transformed into the likeness of who Jesus is. The third one is to be able to follow God. Now, this one, a lot of people have challenges with this one, like, I can follow God on my own. The answer is no, you can't. You actually have to have the Holy Spirit living within you to actually follow God. In Galatians 5, verse 16 through 17, it reads this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. All of us are human, and all of us have been in that wrestle where we feel desires in one direction, and guess who empowers you to not move in that direction? It's the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize that. John 3:5-6 reads this. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Jesus teaches that spiritual rebirth through the Holy Spirit is essential for entering God's kingdom. So this point is simple. To be able to follow God, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit is necessary. Last but definitely not least, on why the Holy Spirit is a supernatural gifts and power. And depending on what stream you come from, what background, I understand in this room alone, we have people on all different personal journeys with the Holy Spirit. You've observed it, you've experienced it, you've read about it, you've heard about it, and everyone's in a unique spot. And I love that about Studio is we have a very diverse community of people coming from all different walks of life. But the one thing I want to emphasize, the Spirit, and I'm going to break this down a little bit later in the talk, to emphasize that why the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Holy Spirit you begin to live a lifestyle of power with signs and wonders and miracles, and you can begin to operate in the gifts that come from the Spirit of God. This is not something that you conjure up. It's not something that you get to pick and choose which one you get. This is not a vending machine selection. Man, I want this gift, and this gift, and I can use it whenever I want. And I want to flip the script that if the Holy Spirit is a vending machine to you, then guess what? You have it backwards. The Holy Spirit actually enables you, gives you power. So when you pray for someone or you operate in the gift, this is not Eric Johnson. I'm simply a funnel, a conduit of the power of God working through my life. This isn't Eric has some unique power. The source of the power is not something to do with myself. It's everything to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. All right, next slide. I want to talk a little bit about being filled with the Spirit. There are two dimensions to this. And I want to take my time through these two because this is where some of us get hung up on. And I want to provide a broader perspective, at least my perspective, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to put it in as simple form, in simple language as I can. There is a dimension of the Spirit that is simply for you. This is what we call the indwelling of the Spirit to help you become who God's called you to be, to follow him, to walk in all the things that he has promised you, to transform you from the inside out. And that's what we would naturally call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain that in just a moment. The next one is what we refer to as living a lifestyle of power. Other people will call it the baptism of the Spirit. So let's break these three down. So the indwelling of the Spirit, the definition is this. The Holy Spirit permanently resides within every believer at the moment of salvation. I believe the moment you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Because you can't actually be a Christian because the Holy Spirit is actually the marking you, saying this person is marked for God. And the Holy Spirit's word enables you to follow him, to walk in the ways that he has called you to walk. So I believe that when you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And I know a lot of people that say they're Christian but don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I will hopefully bring some clarity to what some may mean when they say that. But the definition of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanently resident when you say yes to Jesus at the moment of salvation. Who receives it? Every Christian automatically receives the indwelling of the Spirit when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now the purpose, let's look at the purpose. There's some scripture references. To seal believers as God's own. When you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in you, you've been marked as God's own. To guide, to teach, and to sanctify you. And then last but not least, to empower them to live a godly life. In Romans 8:9, it said, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? So the key point of the phrase indwelling of the Holy Spirit is this. The indwelling of the Spirit is a permanent reality for all believers. It's for all believers. Let's go to the next slide. The other dimension of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is where people get tripped up on, when did that happen? Did it happen at the moment of salvation? And I want to kind of unpack that for you a little bit today. The definition of the baptism of the Holy Spirit refers to a special empowerment by the Holy Spirit, often linked to the initial coming of the Spirit upon believers for boldness and ministry. Now, my dad shared a definition with me many years ago. We were having some deep discussions on this, and my dad shared his understanding, and this is I adhere to this as well, that the Holy Spirit within you is for you to follow God. The Holy Spirit on you is to serve the purposes of reaching humanity for the kingdom. So the idea of the indwelling of the Spirit is for you to follow God, but the baptism of the Spirit is for you to walk in a lifestyle of power to accomplish the commission, the great commission that Jesus has commanded us to do. And this is important to understand. So who receives it? All believers are indwelt by the Spirit. Some Christians believe that Spirit baptism is a separate experience that can occur at or after salvation. Now, if you have a hard theology on it happened at salvation or after, I can poke holes in both theological frameworks. I have been around this conversation for my entire life. I have seen people, the moment they said yes to Jesus, they've been baptized, in, not the indwelling, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And from that moment forward, you would see them walk in the gift that we would call spiritual gifts. I've seen other people faithfully serving the Lord with no active gift in their life. And 20 years later, they have an encounter with God and they are, quote, baptized in the Spirit. And from that point on, they move in the gifts. So I want to just say to us in this community, if you have a hard theology this way or that way, I just want to let you know there's actually poking holes in it. It's really easy. I've experienced it and I've seen it. So it's not a mountain that's really worth dying on. The reality is this, is the Holy Spirit's within you, but the longing for baptism of the Spirit is something that we get to participate in. And we'll talk about that in just a minute here. So what's the purpose of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? To empower believers for witness and for service. You have a reference there. To unite believers into the body of Christ and to manifest the spiritual gifts, to see the spiritual gifts operate in our life. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to talk more specifically about the gifts. You might be asking how many gifts there are. I have my own thoughts and opinions, so come back next week and I'll let you know. Some biblical examples, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 8:14 through 17, the Samaritans had believed in Jesus, but later received the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. And then in Acts 19:1 through 6, that Paul lays hands on believers in Ephesus, and they receive the Spirit and speak in tongues. So what's the key point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Spirit baptism is often seen as empowerment for ministry distinct from the indwelling. So just to recap, the two dimensions that I want you to hold on to today, when you say yes to Jesus, the Spirit comes into life, and we call that the indwelling of the Spirit, and it enables you to walk in the ways and to follow God. The baptism of the Spirit is to empower you to do the works of ministry in the form of spiritual gifts to accomplish His missional purposes on earth. That's the two dimensions that I want to hold on to, and I want to invite you to begin to embrace yourself around that. Nick, next slide is a chart. Take a picture of this and go check it out later. But this gives you more distinct differences of when it happens, who receives it, so on and so forth, and the indwelling and the baptism. So take a quick picture of that, and I'll let you chew on that later over lunch with your good friends. While you're doing that, I want to bring your attention to a passage in Ephesians 5:18. It said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, the word filled there, the Greek word there, means a continual filling. It means a continual filling, and this is important because sometimes we think, oh, I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm good to go. No, the idea that you continually live in an experience with the Holy Spirit. This is a continual, this isn't a one point in time, this will last me till the day I die. the reality of if it were just some force, then maybe. But you have to understand, you're talking about a person. You're talking about a relationship. The Holy Spirit's not some wind force out there. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, and God wants relationship with you. When my wife and I got married, if I only relied on that experience to sustain this relationship, we would not be married today. This, it won't last, it won't work. So understand that the idea of being filled with the Spirit is moving deeper and deeper into relationship with Him and continually having experiences and moments with the Holy Spirit, having conversations, having interactions, accomplishing what He wants to do inside of you and what He wants to do outside of you. And that's the, probably the biggest thing I want you to embrace today is this reality. The Holy Spirit wants to be in relationship with you and wants you to continually be filled with the Spirit. So now let's move into the last section, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me still? Okay. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can read them here right in front of you. It says, through faith in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the indwelling right now. I want to talk about more of specifically the baptism. Through faith in Christ, through prayer and asking God, through surrender and obedience, and through the laying on of hands. Let me read those again. Faith in Christ, praying and asking God, surrender and obedient, and through the laying on of hands. Now, the laying on of hands, let's just talk about that for a moment here. In Peter and John, in Acts, they lay their hand on people and they receive the baptism of the Spirit. Other times, they were talking to a group of people, no one laid hand on anybody, and they received the Holy Spirit. So what I want to point out is this. If you have a theology or framework that the only way you receive the baptism of the Spirit is if someone lays hand on you, then you probably were raised more in a Pentecostal charismatic background. But when you actually look at the book, and I'm not downplaying that at all, there's a place for it. I know many of you have seen that. I've seen, I've experienced it. So I'm not even downplaying it, but I just want to say that you don't only receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hand. It is one of the ways that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you've been getting hand laid on and you've not had that experience, guess what? Have faith in Christ, seek God, surrender and obey, and let God begin to do the work in you. So don't reduce them down to one little Russian roulette moment. Man, I hope this is my moment. Let me spin that thing one more time. So understand, is the laying on of hands necessary? It is one way that God fills believers with the Holy Spirit, but it is not the only way, and it is not a magical ritual. And it's not something that you finally figured out the algorithm of activity, and then God said, oh, you figured it out. Boom, there you go. It's not some ritual process formula. It is simply your faith, your surrender, your hunger for it, and doing whatever it takes to posture yourself for it. If you don't want the Holy Spirit in your life, guess what? Most likely, He won't show up. Now, I have seen where people say, I don't want God, and God says, too bad, I want you. So I'm going to be really clear there. But I will tell you this. I have seen people that do not hunger for the Holy Spirit, and guess what? They don't have it. They don't have the activity that we read about in the Scriptures. So if you really are hungry for it, guess what? Stir up the hunger. Pray. Seek God. Surrender. Obey. Have people pray for you. Do whatever it takes. All right, we're going to start moving into some new spaces. Being filled with the Spirit is not just about an emotional experience. It's about living a life fully submitted to God, empowered to serve, and to be transformed into the image of Christ. It is an ongoing relationship where the Holy Spirit continually works in and through a believer. Okay, there's no slides for these next ones, so you might want to write this stuff down. I didn't want to help you too much. I wanted you to work a little bit with me. How do you know if you are filled with the Spirit? We're talking about how to be filled, but how do you know if? Here's a couple of indications. This is not a checklist. This is just some indications. You see a boldness in your faith accelerate. All of a sudden, you see your faith go to another dimension, and your boldness has elevated. You have a deepened love for God and for humanity. I truly believe it is impossible to be filled with the Spirit and be baptized in the Spirit and not fall more in love with humanity. I personally do not believe that's possible. I know some people believe that. I do not. Now, your love for God increases, but if your love for humanity increases, then I think there's some other things that we need to talk about. Because truly, essentially, when you look at the life of Jesus, by the end of his life, his love for humanity exploded on the cross. It didn't get less. It didn't decrease. It only increased. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. Sometimes the older we get, the more pessimistic we get, the more cynical we get about humanity. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is the key to deepen your love for humanity. If you find yourself today just having a really tough framework and perspective on people, may not be all of humanity, but someone, guess what? The Holy Spirit is the one that helps you to fall in love with people when you don't want to. So that's an indication you're filled with the Spirit. A lifestyle of worship and gratitude. One of the byproducts of the activity of the Spirit in your life is a lifestyle of worship and gratitude. You are grateful, you are thankful in the face of every situation. You become more sensitive to the leading and the voice of God is another indication. You see supernatural gifts at work, which again, we're going to talk about the next couple of weeks. And last but not least, is you have victory over sin. Where you were failing before in the area of sin and temptation, the Holy Spirit now enables you to overcome the temptations and sin. These are evidences of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are three common misconceptions. I'm fire hosing you guys on purpose. Three misconceptions. It's a one-time experience. It's a common misconception about the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. The Bible talks about a daily dependence on God, and the scriptures show it is a continual being filled with the presence of Jesus. The second misconception, it's only about the spiritual gifts. While gifts like prophecy, healing, and tongue can be signs, the true mark of being spirit-filled is Christ-like character and a lifestyle that looks like him. And the third misconception is only certain Christians can be filled. Every believer is called to be filled with the Spirit, not just pastors or leaders. Yes. Praise God. And that you can find that in Ephesians 5:18. Okay, the last slide, or actually second to last slide. I want to just share some personal thoughts around these phrases, spirit-filled and non-spirit-filled. These are really dangerous phrases. And I want to ask us to stop using them. You would not believe how many people come up to me and say, that's a spirit-filled Christian and that one's not. What I hear often, that's a spirit-filled church and that's not a spirit-filled church. People come and say, man, this is a spirit-filled church. I've been to other churches and they're not spirit-filled. I mean, this is such a dangerous rhetoric that is causing more division and confusion. It does nothing to help the conversation. So I want to just share some thoughts related to this. The term spirit-filled and non-spirit-filled can be misleading and divisive. It's not helpful. I want to ask that we move away from making our own assessments and using phrases such as spirit-filled and not spirit-filled. Now, I understand a lot of people say that was a spirit-filled church. It's because you experienced God there, but because if you didn't experience God there, it doesn't mean the Spirit's not there. And so when you label, we start labeling these environments and people, they are not spirit-filled, they are, and all of a sudden, it's because that's your personal perspective and experience. But to tell another Christian brother or sister and say, they're not spirit-filled, it's just not a good idea. It's an inaccurate label, and it's misleading. There is a measure of understanding about the Spirit, and there's a lot that we actually do not understand. I know people that don't believe the gifts are for today, and that's called cessationism, but they still believe in the Spirit. I know people that believe in the spiritual gifts, but they don't believe it's for today. So does that make them spirit-filled or not spirit-filled? You see, there's too many equations that we run into, and believe me, all of them have theological groundings. For me, I just wanted to say this for our community, for people that this is your home church, this is your community. I want us to reduce our language around that spirit-filled and not spirit-filled. You can say, I felt the Spirit, and I didn't feel the Spirit. That makes it more personal. But for you to project a label onto other people and other environment, I think is not helpful. Is anybody with me on this one? Okay. No one can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. So why would we tell someone you're not Spirit-filled when you can't even be a Christian without the Spirit? Okay. Many of the labels, while widely used, have no biblical basis. This is especially true of the term Spirit-filled and not Spirit-filled, and those who believe in the gift of the Spirit and those who do not. So let's start a new culture. Let's create a new context. And if you sense God, great, make it personal, but don't throw a label. All right, last but not least, we're going to end with this. The slide, last slide. Here's some takeaways I want you to take away from today. Your faith in Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that you would go leave this place today asking for more of the Holy Spirit. If you came in here thinking, I don't need to ask for more of the Holy Spirit, I hope today you walk out saying, maybe I should ask for more of God. Maybe it's okay to ask for more of God because you see it within Scripture. It shows the hunger, the longing, and the desire to have more of Him. Surrender and obedience. I pray that this talk encourages you to surrender more of your life and begin to obey the thing that God had put in front of you. Laying on of hands when appropriate. And I'm not saying you become so scared of it you never do it. I just want to say, for some cases, laying on of hand is exactly, but understand that you can receive the Holy Spirit without the laying on of hands. So just posture yourself appropriately. Last but not least, living a life of the Spirit means being empowered, transformed, and guided by God daily. Why don't we stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.